Greetings, fellow Bible believers. One of the greatest questions ever posed in the Word of God was the question which we find recorded in the Bible, Book of Acts, chapter 16, where the jailer, after that tremendous earthquake experience, asked this question, quote, "What must I do to be saved?" End of quote. Bible scholars, it would be wonderful if preachers around the world would give the same answer that the apostles gave in that first century church. When the question is asked, "What must I do to be saved?" it would be wonderful if every preacher everywhere would say the same thing. We want to speak where the Scripture speaks and be silent where the Scripture is silent. One thing that Satan has muddied the water on in the world today is dealing with this question, "What must I do to be saved?" Satan is doing his very best to confuse people on this most important question, "What must I do to be saved?" My, you'll go to one religious group and they'll give you one answer, and then you'll go to another group and they'll give you another answer. Some will say, to be saved, simply receive Jesus into your heart right where you are. But it's interesting, as I study all of the translations that I have, nowhere in any of these translations, in all the conversions in Acts, and there's 8 or 9 of them, nowhere did any apostle or any Christian ever say, if you want to be saved, simply receive Jesus Christ into your heart, and you will be saved. Many will say, if you want to be saved, pray the sinner's prayer. My, you're almost considered a heretic today. You're considered the next thing to satanic if you deny that that is not in the Word of God. But as I look into the Word of God, as I study over and over the Word of God, and all the conversions of Acts, nowhere does it say anything about praying a sinner's prayer in order to be saved. Some people are so precise on that sinner's prayer, even though the concept of the sinner's prayer is nowhere mentioned in the Word of God, they'll even give the people the exact words to pronounce. Nowhere is that found on the pages of the Word of God. So the question comes, how do we answer this question, what must I do to be saved? You're not saved just because you feel saved. You're not saved just because your heart tells you you're saved. You're not saved because your conscience tells you that you're saved. You're not saved just because your preacher tells you that you're saved. You're not saved just because you're added to the book. Someone says, well, if that's the case, how can I know that I am saved? If you'll go to the Bible and word for word accept what the apostles said, accept what the Scripture says, what does the Bible say a person must do in order to be saved? Having preached the gospel for over 50 years, I have learned that people have gotten so used to a plan of salvation which is not in the Word of God. If you preach word for word and quote word for word what is in the Word of God, you'll be called a cult. I know this for a fact. You'll be called a cult. You'll be called a false prophet if you preach and quote exactly word for word, comma for comma, exactly what the Bible has to say. But we must go back to the Scripture. We must not accept these changes. We must do exactly what the Word of God says. The Bible says, and Jesus settled it, if we would just believe it, if we could take off our denominational glasses, if we take off our various opinions and what we think sounds so good in our heart and simply believe what Jesus said. Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world. Now, all the world not only meant into the Jewish world, but the Gentile world. Most of the world was the Gentile world. And he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And during the age of the apostles and for some time afterwards, whenever the gospel was preached, the people would be called upon to believe and to be baptized. As a matter of fact, every one of the named accounts of conversion in the book of Acts ended up with baptism the same hour. That in itself is totally different from the modern theological thinking of our age. And people have gotten so used to the false sense of security of the plans that have been substituted that they don't even recognize the plain truth from the Word of God. But what does the Bible plainly say about salvation? What must I do to be saved? Someone said that the Apostle Paul whenever he went into a town with his evangelistic team, he either had a revival or a riot. Well, the Apostle Paul came to Philippi, and on the Sabbath day, they were waiting, of course, to come around the Lord's table on the first day. They went out by the river, and there were some women out there, and there was a baptism right on the spot, Lydia and the ones that were with her. Then the Apostle Paul cast a devil out of an individual that was making money fortune-telling. And they got upset with the Apostle Paul, had him beaten and thrown into the prison. They beat him nearly to death. In Acts 26, we take up beginning with verse 23. I'm reading from the King James, but I could be reading from practically any of the translations. God has preserved the plan of salvation, and I'm thankful for that. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 23, it talks about what happened to the Apostle Paul because of his preaching. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, the them there, the plural, is Paul and Silas. One translation says, after beating them severely. Weymouth says, and after severely flogging them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Brethren, they were treating the apostles like common criminals, and all they were guilty of was saving souls and casting out devils. In verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. The apostle Paul was in this situation. He was beaten half to death, but he sang hymns and sang praises there in the prison. The late Don DeWelt said, Paul was the kind of man you put him in a barrel and put the lid on, he'd shout glory to God out the bunghole. We must learn and take lessons from the upbeat attitude of these early Christians. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. How many that claim to be Bible believers experience this exact example when it comes to salvation? In your church and in your relationship as far as Christianity is concerned, if you visited someone that decided at 11:30 they wanted to accept Christ, would they be baptized the same hour, or would you substitute something that is not found on the pages of the Word of God? My people have gotten away from what the Bible plainly says. How many would do exactly what they did here in the 16th chapter of Acts? The man heard the gospel. The prison doors were opened. He thought Paul and Silas had escaped. When he was spared and found out they were there, he said, no doubt he recognized who they were. He had heard their singing. He said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Many preachers are going to give an account before God because this is where they stop. They're cutting the people short. Remember, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And in this very example, they were told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would be saved. And that very hour, there was a baptismal service. In the 8th chapter of Acts, there were 3 baptismal services the same hour. In the 10th chapter of Acts, there was 1 baptismal service the same hour. In the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, there was a baptism the same hour. Every example of these named conversions in the book of Acts ended with the same plan, following what Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Why would someone be called cultist for preaching that? Why would someone be called water regenerationist for preaching that? when the Bible plainly teaches, of course, that we're saved by the wonderful blood of Jesus. But how does he do it? We're saved by grace. How are we saved by grace? By believing and being baptized exactly, word for word, syllable for syllable, in obedience to the command of God. The Apostle Peter said the same thing in the example we have in Acts 2. The people were cut to the heart and wanted to know how to be saved. And Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Many people yell heresy when you simply quote these verses to someone desiring to be saved. If you don't tell them to pray through, if you don't tell them to pray the sinner's prayer, you're guilty of heresy. But friends, where did you hear anything about a sinner's prayer in this situation, the 16th chapter of the book of Acts? In Acts chapter 2, where's the sinner's prayer? In the three accounts of conversion, in Acts 8, where's the sinner's prayer? In Saul's conversion, where's the sinner's prayer? It is a man-made innovation. We're going to be dealing with that next week. Have your friends to tune in. We're going to share with you where the sinner's prayer notion for salvation came in and why the great evangelists have used this notion of praying the sinner's prayer in order to be saved and why they've gotten away from the plain, basic message that is described clearly on the pages of the Word of God. What must I do to be saved? As we look at all of these conversion examples in the book of Acts, there was a pattern. They had to first of all hear the gospel. Then when they heard it, they believed it. After they believed it, they repented. After they repented, they confessed their faith in Christ. And after they confessed their faith in Christ, in each instance they were immersed, baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Now, in order to find cases of New Testament conversion, we have to go this side of the cross. And so don't go back to the thief on the cross, or don't go back to the publican in the temple, or don't go back to Isaiah. Go to the period of time after Jesus arose from the grave, after the Holy Spirit came, after Jesus shed his blood for the remission of sins. Go to the conversions in Acts and have this question answered, what must I do to be saved? Someone says, this is confusing to me. I didn't realize that the mourner's bench and salvation by going to an altar was not in the Word of God. Some say, I'm confused. I didn't realize that it didn't say simply, raise your hand and receive Jesus. Many others are confused, saying, I am terribly confused because I didn't realize that in all the conversions in Acts, not once is there anything said about the sinner's prayer. But the truth is, to be saved, you must do exactly what this jailer had to do. He was told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and he would be saved and his house. And the same hour of the night he was baptized. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, the truth must be preached. Let God be true, if every man is a liar. And all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. So don't lie to the people when it comes to salvation. Quote these conversion examples in Acts word for word. Be tuned in next week. It's exciting to preach the gospel. We thank God for that wonderful privilege. And if you've not obeyed, get your life straightened out with God today. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the gospel as we close this broadcast. Help people to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save their souls. In Jesus' name, amen.